Well, hello! Welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast for all that crap we just love to talk about on Yule Bravs and beyond. Today we're not even on Bravo at all, or tomorrow. So what do you think of that? I'm Ronnie, and over there, coming out of the dark shadows, is the thin, beautifully haired, beautifully skinned, gorgeously toothed Ben Mandelker!
Oh, Ronnie, thank you so much. Wow, what a wonderful introduction.
Ben's name today is Ben, lost my teeth in the slide, Mandelker, because we are recapping Class Action Park from HBO Max. What was I going to say? We're on Crappens On Demand, so we're on video. Yeah. So if you guys want to watch, come on over to Crappens On Demand, okay?
Yeah, so we thought we were going to be recapping the season premiere of The Real Housewives of Orange County because, the dates had said that it was premiere. But actually, it wasn't the premiere last night at all. It was just like a rerun of the first episode. So that's fine. We just, we pivoted because we're able to do that, okay? And here we are. We're doing Class Action Suit today. And tomorrow, very special, we are recapping the first episode of Emily in Paris, which, really, I mean, what a well-written show, right? What a well-written and executed show.
Really makes both Parisians and Americans look great.
We'll have a lot to say about that, but for today, it's Action Park.
Yeah, and I was nervous thinking it was Orange County because y'all are mad about Orange County. Oh my God, there's like petitions going around to not watch Orange County, don't recap Orange County, and how dare you recap Orange County. We are recapping Orange County, okay? We are recapping it because we love calling out idiots on our TV, and this year we're full of them. We've especially got a big one in Miss Kelly Dodd, who, I mean, what a fall from grace she's had.
What a disappointment. Not a surprise, but a disappointment nonetheless. Yes. Yeah, we're going to go after them. I mean, like, also cuz I want to watch. I'm curious to see how this is going to happen. At the end of the day, we've always said this podcast is the two of us watching shit that we want to watch. And like, I'm not saying that I'm looking forward to it necessarily, nor am I saying that I think I'm going to get any enjoyment out of it, but I am interested in seeing it. We've always covered Orange County, and they've always had awful problematic people on it. This is different. So yeah, we're just going to go after them.
Listen, we relish in going after dumb people on TV. That's what we've been doing for a long time, and we look forward to it. So we're not telling you to watch it. Just watch whatever the hell you want. I'm not going to tell you what to do. But we will be here with Orange County starting next week by hook or by crook, damn it. And none of us think this is going to be an easy season. This season looks like hell. It's all corona and masks and...
It looks like it'll
I don't want to know any of that's happening, okay? I know it's happening because I live in the real world. When I turn on my TV, I do not want to see that, okay? I don't want to see people looking for toilet paper, okay?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a disaster of a season. Also, just because I think production had to be stopped and then started, etc. So, it's like, I think just as a TV show, it'll be very herky-jerky and weird and bad. Yeah. And then in terms of like Kelly's politics specifically, I think it's going to be really very difficult to watch and to like and to sit there and listen to her spout lots of bullshit. That's going to be tough, but that's what we're here for, okay? Cuz we're going to be like, you know what? Fuck you, okay? Don't wear that hat, you stupid face.
Yeah, God, I wish that was on the season. What an idiot.
My goodness. Idiot.
Okay, but we will get on to what an idiot Kelly Dodd is on next week's show. Today, we are focused on Class Action Park. Now, if you guys don't have HBO Max, we are not stumping for HBO Max, but I got it just because they had a couple shows I wanted to watch. They had this, and they had Raised by Wolves, which I love a good science fiction thriller. So I got it for that, and it's a little
weird.
So
it's not about Nell?
Nell, the Jodie Foster?
Yeah, Jodie Foster's Nell. It's not about her?
No, although I do wish it starred Nell Carter, because I love Nell Carter.
Aww, give me a break.
Yeah, I love Nell Carter. She can be in everything, even though she's RIP. But Raised by Wolves was really freaky and weird. Loved it. And then people have been asking we've been asking you guys what to recap for these weeks that we have blank days on Bravo. And you guys have given us a lot of ideas, and this was one of them. So we didn't know that much about it. We just pressed play, and here we are.
Well, Ronnie suggested it, and I was like, I'm down because I'm from the New York area. I mean, I'm from New York. I'm from Westchester County, New York. And growing up, there was during the afternoon cartoons, you'd come home from school and then you'd watch your cartoons like Thundercats or whatever, and there would be incessant ads for Action Park all the time. Action Park, Action Park, Action Park. And I never wanted to go because it looked really scary in the ads, because there's these like super tall slides, and we'll talk about that in the documentary, but they're like these really steep ones, and you just see people going down it, and I was like, ah, and it just seemed like a place for the big kids and not for me. And plus, yeah, I was scared of amusement parks in general because I was scared of going upside down. So like, I didn't even go to Great Adventure, which was the Six Flags in New Jersey, till I was like a senior in high school. Although I did go to a water slide park when I was really young. I was so scared. I didn't go upside down until I think I was about 24 out here in LA. And I went to Six Flags up in Valencia. And I went on the Batman ride. And I was like, okay, guys, I'm going to go upside down. And they're like, Ben, this... Because I was okay with going on... If it didn't go upside down, I was fine. I went on Goliath, which is like 25 stories high and has a huge drop. And my friend's like, you're okay with Goliath, but not Batman the ride, which is like a slow, simple ride where it just twirls. And I was like, it's terrifying. But I did it. And now I'm actually a convert to going upside down. But the point is this. I was scared to go to Action Park, but I grew up with it. And so this documentary, I was very fascinated by.
Yeah, I grew up in El Paso, Texas, as I've told you a million times, and we have a place here called Western Playland, and I mean, that is one rickety park, okay, is rickety. It reminded me of this because it looks like someone's just like, you know what, I want a roller coaster made out of wood, okay, and the theme is like a mouse running, it's called the Mouse Trap, I think that's what, sorry El Paso, it's been a long time. And this thing, you get on it, and it is, like, wobbly. It's moving, like, it's creaking. And I would say, I don't want to go on that. I don't think that that's safe. And my mom's like, Ronnie, it's a business. They're not going to just put you on something that's going to break. It's a business. Like, that was always her thing. Like, it's safe because it's a business, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't know if anybody's died on that. Would not be surprised, but I think it's still there. Shockingly enough.
I mean, probably someone has. I grew up, my closest amusement park was a place called Rye Playland, which, I went to on a trip in summer camp, and it was so fun. And they have this roller coaster called the Dragon Coaster. And it's just like at one point, like you're going through, and there's like I think at one point you go down into a thing, and there's like a tunnel with like little teeth on the top because you're going into the dragon's mouth. And there were always stories. And I think they're true, but I'm not sure about like someone who stood up at that point and then like got decapitated, or they put their hands, I don't know, some bullshit like that. But there was always like the specter of death around Rye Playland, but it didn't make me want to not go. I just always wanted to go to Rye Playland.
Well, there you go. Well, today we're at Class Action Park in New Jersey. Now, this, we had to type very quickly in this, and there's not a whole lot of delineation between the characters. I mean, it's just like a lot of Jersey guys, you know.
A lot of Jersey bros.
Yeah, my notes are pretty offensive. I was like, the fat one, the bald one.
I was like, beard. Yeah, beard, pale, beard, beard, pale. Also, so this documentary was sort of weird because I kind of felt like it was made by like a New York City comedy hipster. Did you get that feeling? Like it was like a dude who's like, oh yeah, did you see Chris Gethard? What, I don't know how to say his name. Gethard, whatever. But it felt like he was a guy who
Gethard. Oh God, what pressure.
I know. But I felt like it was directed by someone who lives in Brooklyn who like gets his cred by talking about what comedian he saw last night at like, you know, in Bushwick. And I kind of got that feeling because it felt like half the people that were interviewed for this movie were people who used to work at the park. And the other half are people who I felt like were subtly trying to one-up each other with jokes throughout the documentary.
Yeah, that was pretty weird because there was a lot of employees. And then, it was like people who went to the park. So it's like random 20-hour interviews with just people who had been to the park.
Yeah.
And there is that energy in this documentary. There's a guy named Chris, and he's like, what? I mean, they put it together with a stapler, and you were like, and then we went, I mean, it was fucking unbelievable. And he's like this pale little ginger guy who I totally think that is a comic in Bushwick talking about.
No, he is, because he is like a big comedian. And he's just he is. He had like had comedy specials and everything.
Oh,
and
shit.
He's like,
sorry.
You go and you feel like you're the fucking king of the world, and you're like, I'm gonna get fucking hurt, but that's like what Jersey was all fucking about. Am I right? You just gotta get like fucking hurt and you fucking love it. I'm like, okay, all right, I get it. All right, I'll see you in Bushwick.
Well, I was looking up this, I was looking up cast because I thought, well, I have to know their names, which apparently we've agreed now that we don't care. But I was like, Class Action Park cast, and looked it up. And one of the headlines was from Vulture, and it was like, Class Action Park and the culture of toxic. The culture of toxic, not memories. What do you call it? Nostalgia. Toxic nostalgia. Mm. The culture of toxic nostalgia. Ooh, it's like, oh.
Go on.
Come on. Come on now.
What is toxic nostalgia?
Well, I guess it's this. Like, oh, wasn't it fun even though it killed 90 million people?
Yeah. Well, you know what? I did feel that way towards the end of the movie. I was kind of
Yeah, of course. They make you laugh for an hour and a half, and then they're like, and then someone died horribly. And you're like,
no, I mean... That to me was not problematic to me, but what was problematic to me, and I guess they were trying to drive home this point, and I'm literally going to the end of the movie right now, but like the very last shot is this woman at the grave of her child who was killed, while you hear, I think it is this guy, Chris, talking about like, yeah, but that's just the way it was, you know, you just like rode and you have fun. And I'm like, I think the movie was making a point that like, yeah, but serious shit happened, but at the same time, I still think the movie was more about like, yeah, but this is what childhood was about. And I'm like, it sort of was left me on a, I did feel like it was toxic nostalgia a little bit, to be honest.
I don't really know what toxic nostalgia is.
I mean, I just learned it right now.
Yeah. I mean, I guess we're defining it ourselves, but I don't know what that is really. I just think it's like such a 2020 thing to say. Toxic nostalgia. That is some toxic nostalgia, Ronnie.
Yeah.
Like I can imagine a friend saying that to me. Like, Ronnie, that is toxic nostalgia.
I know.
The Muppet really Babies, Ronnie, that is toxic nostalgia.
I know. You know what? Fuck this toxic nostalgia. Let me talk about one of my favorite, you know, hobbies when I was a child. Playing with giant balls of fire and burning down neighborhoods. That was a fun time. You know what I'm saying? Now, what were you saying about toxic nostalgia?
Volatile nostalgia. Okay, so let's go on. Let's start with this damn recap because we're going to be here all day.
Yeah, it's going to take forever. Okay, so...
Hey, it's not really fair to ask, like, what actually was the park? Like, it was a water slide park, but in truth, it was so much more than just a water slide park.
Action Park was the chaos slumber park. There was very little oversight, too much alcohol, whistles blowing, motors running. I'm like, that sort of sounds like, you know, going to a strip mall in Jersey. I don't know.
Yeah. Whistle screaming, people laughing, motors running. It's like you were jumping into the lion's den. Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, we see Jimmy Kimmel interviewing Johnny Nashville and talking about how Johnny Knoxville.
Knoxville. I was like, Nashville, Johnny Nashville.
Johnny Nashville, you ever heard of him? He's the cousin.
God, he's really cleaned up his image. He went from Knoxville to Nashville. I mean, that's a rehab of your image, right?
He
there.
Literally has wagons of bachelorettes riding over his body, going, "Woo, I'm getting married." That's what Nashville is these days.
Yeah, it was kind of odd that they had a Johnny Knoxville thread in this, right? Because I came back to him a couple of times. Or was it just because he was in this interview?
I think it was just this interview that he and Kimmel had where they were like laughing about how like Action Park, you always got bruised, and like really it should be Class Action Park, you know?
Yeah. Title stolen and stolen. So then the news headlines, fun park, but there's some dead people. Okay, Action Park injuries up in 86. And then a guy's like, yeah, but I mean, who wants to sit on a fucking Ferris wheel? Am I right?
Did you get the impression while watching this that like every single person who's ever appeared on The Real Housewives of New Jersey has spent a significant amount of time at Action Park? Like, if you tell me that Joe Gorga did not spend like
both
40% of his summer at Action Park,
100% both Joes, Giudice and Gorga, both.
Yeah, and
you broke your fucking head. So what? Okay, it's a fucking water slide. What do you think is gonna happen?
Yeah, don't be a fucking pussy. Don't be a fucking pussy. Jump off, take the Tarzan swing. Okay, don't be a fucking pussy.
Yeah.
I swear, at one point, I thought I saw Kathy Wakile in the footage. I was like, "That's Kathy." I'm telling you right now that's Kathy.
I know. I kept looking at the people trying to see if I could place anyone in Jersey. Yeah. So it's like, fun, fun, this is the craziest place with no rules ever. And then it cuts to this old lady named Esther going, it's a place where death was tolerated, where death was put on the whole number situation. I was like, well, geez, way to bring it down, lady. Well, later we find later out we why find she's out. So upset. But yes. Yeah, this movie is like, fun, and death. The death yeah. was bad, guys. Let's talk about how bad the death was. And fun.
I was actually surprised that the death wasn't higher. When we got the final tally at the end, I actually was expecting like a solid 10 or 15 more deaths. But, I mean, thank God, not. So anyway, class action park. Crimes were committed.
Cover-ups happened. The story hasn't been told truthfully. And that's what's the worst thing after all.
It was a water slide park without pumptinis. Horrifying. It's Lisa Vanderpump narrating.
So, guys, in order to understand this place, we need to go back to New York in the 1970s. There was Wall Street. Everything was changing. Bankers, brokers were transforming into the masters of the universe.
And then we have a lady who, like, appears now and then, like, at the end of the movie. And she's like, you know, a ton of money started entering the industry, which makes it perfect for Gene Mulvihill. Mulvihill. His name is Gene Mulvihill, but it's just looks. His name looks like someone was eating cookies while they came up with it. Oh yeah, that's Gene. Mulvihill. Yeah.
Yeah. Rob from Below Deck Med named him. He's like, his name is Gene Mulvihill.
It's like, yeah, it's like the batteries just died. His name is. His name is supposed to be like Gene Mulholland. He's like, his name is Gene Mulvihill.
So yeah, Gene Mulvihill, and we see his. His high school picture in the yearbook, and it says Gene Chip Mulvihill. But they never called him Chip the whole time. And I was like, I guess that nickname didn't take.
It's like my friend Asim. In high school, people called him Tex for some reason, and he's like really tried to make Tex happen after high school, and we just like will not let it happen. Like, no. He tried so hard in college. He's like, you know, he's like, you can call me Tex. And we're like, no.
Yeah, I have a friend who changed her name in adulthood, and we were like, no, you're not. You're not going to go by that name. Sorry, we're not going to say it. And then she tried to put like the two dots over an E in her name. You know how you have to hold the E longer on the keypad to get the two dots? And then you could never find her in search, like if you were just trying to find her fast. Because I was like, we're not doing that. Okay, you need to change your name back.
I know a girl who in high school, her last name is Benoit. She's great, by the way, lovely girl, but her last name is Benoit. And then I think in college, I believe she started going by Benoit.
Yeah, it's like a Judice. Like, nope, sorry. Like, even Teresa's gone back to Judice because, like, no one's gonna play that game with you. So Gene Chip Mulvihill, and then we see his class picture, and he's like, ooh. And his quote under it is, a little nonsense now and then is relished by the best of men. By the way, this guy is played by a male Dorinda. Like, we hear him on, we only really hear him on the phone, but he's like, hey, you want to know what I think about it? It's like, where are you guys calling him from? Like,
I actually would like to say that while I was watching this movie last night, there was an actual Dorinda outside my apartment who was like, it was sad. She was like, you know, something was going on with her. She was just sort of like drunk and shouting. And literally the entire time I was watching this movie, I kept on, there was this voice outside my window going, hey, you better shut up. Hey, you all bitches, you better shut up. I was like, oh my gosh, Dorinda.
Yeah, that's kind of how West Hollywood is now, too, at night. It's just a bunch of people walking around screaming at the air. And I'm like, what's the point of drugs if you're just screaming at somebody? I like the drugs that make you happy and, like, want to touch things, you know? Like, if I'm just telling somebody off, I'm just basically at work. Like, what the fuck do I need a drug for that?
So anyway, well, we find out that Gene Chip Mulvihill, he started a firm called Mayflower Securities, and he, like, the whole thing was, like, it was very Wolf of Wall Street. He was into penny stocks, which are basically, like, scams in a sense, and, like, whenever there'd be a sale, he was very ostentatious. His whole thing is he had a big showman. If there was a sale, they would, like, blast the bugle and champagne would flow. You know, they were just like a shade away from having like a giant bell hanging in their office that they would clank every time they closed the deal on something.
Yeah, it was very Wolf of Wall Street, which they have the guy in there from Wolf of Wall Street. Did you see that with Leo DiCaprio?
I did. I only call him Leonardo, though, because I'm not friends with him.
No, he's Leo. He's Leo in my book.
It's like Nick Cage.
Because I know it would bother him if I ever saw him, like, if he was in like the diner I used to work at. I would just walk up to him and be like, hey, Leo. And I just know he'd be like, how dare you? Like, he'd be seething underneath it. Like when people call me Ron, I'm like, go fuck yourself. Yeah. So his quote, did I say his class quote? A little nonsense now and then is relished by the best of men. What was your quote in your yearbook? Because I know you had one.
Okay, so in my senior year, my senior high school, I actually don't remember my quote, but I can tell you this much. I'm glad you brought this up because I was just talking about this last week. So I went to a school that went through ninth grade. It was like a private school. Went through ninth grade, and after that, I went off to public school. And so it was sort of a weird timing. So I started public school in 10th grade in sophomore year, but in ninth grade in my school, that was considered like senior year of my private school. And so in my yearbook at the private school, my quote originally was going to be the main chorus of Hero by Mariah Carey. No. It was originally going to be, and then a hero comes along with the strength of power on, you know, like all that. Like I literally had that as my quote. And then like at the last minute, I was like, it's too gay. They'll know. And so
you think
someone,
well, I mean, look, I hate internalized homophobia and everything, but yeah.
That was like...
You were right.
So then here's my lateral move. Someone gave me a copy of Jonathan Livingston Seagull. Do you know what that is?
Yes. Like I walk, but I don't see the... Or I don't see you, but it's I like see your footsteps or some shit.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I put some cheesy ass line from Jonathan Livingston Seagull that was, I don't know, like, I'm always a friend that will carry you along. Some bullshit like that. So just
I walk on the beach with invisible people or whatever.
Yeah, so I went from like Mariah Carey hero to this like pseudo Christian parable, even though I'm Jewish. So that is the story of my yearbook quote.
Wow.
And then wait, you know what? I'm mentioning it all. And then there was a section where you could write like little notes to your friends. You know, where you'd be like, remember this joke, remember that joke, always forget this, remember the time we went and like went swimming, you know?
Yeah.
And I was so eager to like be friends with like the popular people that for all my good friends, the note that I wrote for them was, we have so many memories. I know that we will treasure them forever, so I don't need to write them here. And then for everyone who like I was like not really friends with, but we were really close, like, remember that time we shared a pencil? It was like the most social climby thing. And it's like, so all my good friends.
You're clout just, chasing in your yearbook. It's like, it's over, Ben. Okay, you can stop trying to get into the club.
I literally was. And like, so the people who I actually was like closest friends with, I just was shit. Like, I'm sure we'll always remember these things. And now those are the things that you forget. And those are the things that are the most important. So there you go.
God, wow. I knew I would get an answer out of you.
You did.
Oh, gosh. Okay, so penny stocks. So he's just basically this, you know, he's ripping people off, basically, this Mulville guy, selling people a bunch of crappy stocks. Enter Robert Brennan. He's a fraudster, a penny stock king, and a good friend of Gene. So this guy would just feed Gene all this money because he was a gazillionaire.
Yeah. And this is, by the way, we are told this by a man in a top hat, because why not have a man in the top hat weigh in on this?
You know, I had a problem with the man in the top hat. You can't put a guy dressed like he's in a... Was he going for circus? He was going for circus, right? Because then he was wearing, like, a shiny jacket with, like, paisleys. Like, a shiny tux jacket.
He was definitely, like, I think his chyron said, like, I think he was like archivist or something like that, but he was very much like circusy weighing in on this thing. And on top of that, like, he weighs in now and then we don't see him until like the end of the movie. I'm like, how do you have a guy in a top hat and you don't come back to him at all until the end of the movie?
I think they just got notes, you know. I think he was one of those characters that they were like, nobody wants to see the guy in the top hat. we got our audience ratings back, everybody hates him.
So he looked like he was from like a 1990s grunge video, you know, like a grunge video where like, ooh, look, it's Candlebox and they're going to a fun house and there's the crazy guy who runs the fun house and the Candlebox video.
It was creepy. It was like man in a white van kind of top hat, because it wasn't like a new nice top hat. It was like, oh, it was like steampunk, you know. It was like old and tattery, and I don't know, I couldn't. So this guy got in trouble and suspended by the FCC because they were selling worthless...
The SEC, yeah.
The what? The SEC?
No, I don't know. It's not even important.
FCC?
The SEC. Yes.
SEC, Security FCC. Exchange Commission. I don't know. Whoever wrote this was gay. I can't understand what they said. Because they... SEC? FCC? What is FCC?
That's like the federal... community. That's like TV stuff, like censors and stuff. Federal,
SEC.
Communications.
They were taken down by SEC. Okay. Securities Exchange Commission. And let's see. So he's like, well, I have all this money and I'm kicked off of Wall Street. So what should I do? I'm going to buy 2 ski resorts in Vernon, New Jersey.
Yeah. And so we start seeing Vernon, New Jersey. And like this one guy, his name is Jim. And he's like the head of park security at the time. And he's like, you would never think that this was New Jersey. Okay. It was pretty. There were trees. No one was driving on the wrong side of the street because they were drunk. I don't know. That's not a Jersey thing, but it's the best I could think of.
I wrote his name down as Weird Bald Sickly Guy. So just so you guys, just so you guys know who I mean in the future. So then we see shots of Playboy bunnies giving out drinks. And Hugh Hefner opened a place out there. And it was kind of far from everything. But they wanted to make this new vacation town, right? And right, they're like, the Playboy Club took things to a new level.
Yeah, because Atlantic City had just allowed gambling. So it felt like this was going to become a... like, they thought this was going to be the new Orlando, like the new destination, right? And so Hugh Hefner opened on spec this Playboy Club. And then we meet this woman named Jessie Paladini. And she's just sitting at a table with a large coffee cup in front of her. And she was a Vernon newspaper editor, okay? And yeah. Every week there was some celebrity coming to Vernon, you know? It was people like Tony Bennett or Wayne Newton or Engelbert Humperdinck. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, these celebrities love to come here. It's like your bitter Nana who still chain smokes inside. You know, Jessie Paladini was the hero of this, I thought. She really was.
So Vernon was poised to become the next Orlando, you know, except it was only warm for a few months of the year. But it was like the next Orlando, more or less.
Yeah, so this Mulvu guy decided to make an amusement park because you could only ski part of the year. So he wanted to make an amusement park where it had the same idea as skiing, where when you go skiing, you can choose the hill you go on, you can choose how safe it is, how the level of difficulty and all this. So he wanted to do that with an amusement park, like a choose your own safety level amusement park, which when you hear it doesn't sound too terrible, but isn't that kind of every amusement park? Like they have the wussier rides and then they have stronger rides, but I don't know. I guess he just sold it in a way that sounded good. I bought it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And so he turned to his Bob Brennan, his old buddy from Mayflower, for funds. And, you know, Bob, of course, like gave him the money. Bob was like the money pipeline. And Gene wanted to compete with Orlando because it was going to be the next Orlando, you know? And an Action Park, they say that Action Park was actually one of the first water parks in the world, which I did not know because I haven't thought too much about the history of water parks. But basically the whole idea was to... I think this was his son who was saying it, because Gene Mulvihill's son, I guess they found this interview with him from like 2013, and he was like, build it higher, make it faster, do something that no one's seen before. That's what my father was all about, eh?
Yeah, that's what my dad was. And this guy through the whole movie is like, yeah, my dad was an icon, eh? And it's like, it's like you're cringing the whole time. It's like, some people died, you know? People still like cigarettes, eh? What are you going to do about it, eh?
This guy was basically the original Joe Exotic, by the way. Let's also like mention that, because this is a very good companion piece to Tiger King, which is like these homemade, amusement parks or experiences that are kind of like unlicensed and unregulated, and you think to yourself, why? Like, people actually went to that, and isn't that so dangerous? And how do they pull this off?
Yeah. And then we see some of the stuff while the son tells us they would design it on the fly. All right. Some ideas worked out, and we see some water slides, others not so much. We see this wind machine thing. Now, we've seen this on Housewives where you go and you fly. Like, they put you in this wind tunnel thing, and they turn it all the way up, and you fly around this tube, and you're chained to a bunch of things in case you fall. Or, you know, we've seen the safe version of this on TV. But this is not a safe version, okay? They put, like, a jet propulsion thing on the ground, and they just put people right above it and just fly them up in the air. Like, there's nothing. Yeah. There's nothing to catch these people. They just, like, fly them all the way up in the air. Wow.
Yeah, it is a disaster.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So then we get a bunch of people, some of these comedians who are like talked about going to Action Park as a kid. And there's like this one guy who talked about how you all piled into a car and you get so jacked up to go. And then this one woman, she says how like, well, what happened is that the older teenagers would take you, and it was that's what also made it dangerous, is because then they would sort of like drag you along to the rides that were suitable for 17 to 18 year olds, but you were like 12, you know, so that was like implicitly dangerous.
Yeah.
And then we get Chris, the comedian, he's sitting there like in the corner of his couch, and he has this whole like monologue about like, my mom didn't want me to go, but then a guy down the street, like his family, they were like, we're gonna go. And you know, when you're the product of like divorced parents, you know, there's nothing they can do. They just gotta say, fuck, my kid's gotta go to Action Park, so I gotta go to Action Park. And my mom would just say, please, just be smart. That's what she would say. And I was like, fuck you, mom. And I went off.
Yeah, wasn't it that the kids down the street, they were products of a divorced family, so his parents felt bad and just said yes to whatever they wanted. So they were like, oh, we don't want those kids to be lonely, so just go ahead. You could die.
Oh, is that what it was? But I didn't totally understand the lot. I assumed that he meant that he was the product of divorce, and so therefore he was able to get away. Because I don't understand why like the parents were like, no, but then once another family did, it was like, well, now you can go.
No, the other family, I think, got divorced, and so they felt bad because those kids like had to spend time with their dad, and they were like, oh, well, I guess you should go be nice to those kids. And
well,
either way, the story doesn't, you know.
Yeah, I question that. Like, well, I would like to have my children alive and uninjured, but those other children might be lonely. Okay, kids, go to Action Park.
Yeah, have a heart. So there are three main sections of this park. There's Alpine Center, Water World. Oh, there's Alpine Center, Water World, and Motor World, okay? And Motor World is dedicated to exhaust spewing engines and go-karts. And right in the middle of this park is the highway.
Yeah. The highway.
Right.
It's like a river runs through it. It's like a highway runs through it. Like 94 runs through it. So so then the first ride that we encounter and that we discuss is this thing called the Cannonball Loop. And this is like one of, I think, the most famous, like, disastrous rides that they have. Like, before this documentary came out, there was actually, like, I think a BuzzFeed article or something on one of the main sites that was like, hey, look at Action Park. They seriously had these things at Action Park. And this was, like, the main thing in that article was this slide. It's a slide, and then there's, like, a loop-de-loop at the end of it. And it's all
but it
enclosed.
Goes way deep. It's like off the top of some cliff or some shit, and it's like you're falling all the way to the ground, and then that gives you the speed to go through the loop, right? And this guy's like, yeah, what they did was they threw test dummies in it, right? And these test dummies would come out missing heads, they got missing arms and shit, so then we changed the angle, we changed the height, and then the next step, it's like, all right, let's get some humans in there, right? We got teenager employees, so, you know, there's Uncle Gene standing there with $100 bills just handing them out for anyone with the nuts to go through there.
And so then this guy, we start talking to this guy, he has this beard, he's like a bear daddy, but he's straight, and he's like yeah, so you know, you go in there and like all you see is blackness and there's like water, it keeps you moving, and so you're thinking like it's way too steep, but it's also $100, you know, so you just go down and then you're like, this is too steep, it's too fast, and all of a sudden your feet start going up and then you land and then there's a catch pond, it's too short and my nuts fucking hurt, you know.
Yeah.
And he's like,
the first people come out, they got bloody mouths, so they add padding. Then the people come out with lacerations and they're like, How are people getting cuts from a slide, right? Well, they take it apart and they realize there's teeth stuck in the slide from kids that got their teeth knocked out while they was in the slide.
They're sliding over the teeth and the teeth are scraping them. Which is really...
This really is very...
Really
80s.
One of the most charming Yelp reviews of all time. Had a great time, but I got scraped by someone else's teeth that were lodged in the slide.
Yeah. So after the kids came out too woozy to stand, Gene brought in a Navy physician to measure the slide's effects. And, you know, they had to make little rules like, okay, you too big. Okay, you're too small. Okay. I was like, what did the three bears like make all the rules for this park? That's all they did.
Joe Giudice was the Navy physician. They're like, hey, are you a Navy physician? Yeah, I am. I'm like, okay, what do you think about this slide? It's pretty good. I think it's about we're getting people hurt. Yeah, you know what? It's too big. It's too small. But everyone else can go. It's fine.
Yeah, and they had a trap door in the top where they could, you know, extricate anybody that got stuck in there.
Yeah.
So then, let's see. I think it hurt on... Oh, Chris is like, yeah, as you entered the park, you just see this thing. And now I did get hurt on Cannonball Falls, all right? It looks normal, but... You know, then you come around this corner and there's this black tunnel and then you're going faster and then you hear, no, 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 no. And you're like, why is everybody yelling? And then you see a piece of light and you just get shot out midair.
Yeah, because this is another ride where it's like a normal slide. But the thing is, the slide ends like way above this like icy cold pool. And so people are not expecting it. And then they just like they jump, they get thrown out and then they hit the water. And they are, like, disoriented. And I'm assuming chances are, like, you have, like, 15 seconds to get out of the way, maybe even 5 seconds
before the next body. Yeah, they're hitting each other. They're falling on each other's
heads. Next body falls in your head. Yeah.
And so, they tell us that the guys designing these rides, they were on the fringes of the ride design world. Like, Six Flags wouldn't have them. Disney wanted nothing to do with them. So they would literally track Gene down at these conventions, all coked up out of the head. And he would take them on.
And yeah, he's like, yeah, my dad would give him a shot, you know, that's how my dad was. He was nice. You want to ride. I mean, this really is like Tiger King, right? Isn't that what Joe Exotic would do? He would go to like bus stops and find people who were like high on meth and be like, I'll clean you up. Yeah. And he like had them like taking care of tigers. I mean, that's essentially what this is.
I was waiting for the like garbage can meat that was thrown away at Walmart or whatever.
Well, we got close to that. We got close to that with those hamburger buns. I mean, hot dog buns.
We did. So they talk about their design process, and they're like, yeah, I mean, he would make them bigger, badder, more extreme. I mean, that loop came together from a loop he literally wrote on a cocktail napkin. Then he hires some local welders.
If people made amusement park rides out of all the things that I drew on napkins as a child, there would be a lot more deaths in this world. That's for sure.
So then, let's see, the man on the ball. Oh, God. Okay, so they had a ride called the man on the ball, which is basically a big ball, a big metal ball that you get inside. And then
it's a ball within a ball. Because the inner ball is on inner, I said it was on ball bearings. I assume it's, I don't know, I guess it allows you to like rotate around inside the original ball or something.
Yes. And they got a guy to build the track for it, and he just got PVC pipe. And built a track down a mountain.
Yeah, that's great. That's exactly, you know, just some nice plastic. Just and the idea is that you send the ball down this track of PVC piping, and you're supposed to be in the ball, and you're, I guess, getting tossed around in all these different directions. And so, the first time that they actually sent a person down, by the way, there's a guy named Bill Benayan who's the park president, and he goes, turned out there were some limitations to it. I was like, you think? Because the first time they decided to test it with like a human, it was like a really hot day. So all the PVC pipe expanded. And so they sent the ball down and the track broke. So the ball went off the track and just went tumbling down the hill and across the highway.
Yeah, into the highway.
Across the highway and into a swamp across the way.
My God. Another prototype was inspired by zero-gravity airplanes, all right? The vision was to take flight. So, which one was this? You see the kid? Oh, this is the one that's like a cement. Is this the one that's like a cement thing that you
it was
get
like
on the
a,
sled?
It wasn't the cement one, but it was like a... I think this was the one that was like a slip and slide. It's oh, no, that was the super speed.
No, this slide. One... Yeah, I think you had some kind of a mat. And so you would go down this like slide with the mat, and it was mm-hmm. really steep. So at parts of it, you would go,
oh yeah, it was
and
like
you'd fly off of it a little, and then you'd land on the lower part
it
of the track.
Of like, yeah, it was like a cascading thing. Yeah, exactly.
But then these kids would, you know, of course, kids are kids, so they would like run really far back and then run and jump. So they were going so fast. They talked about one kid went so fast. And they should make a little cartoon of a kid like flipping in the air, doing pirouettes and all of this stuff. And he went way off the landing pad. I mean, he had to be backboarded off, all right? I mean, he went on to live a normal life, but still.
That day, he was hurting. That's like, I feel like every story ended with, well, that guy had to be backboarded out of the park, you know?
Yeah.
So then there was the super speed slides, which is, this is the thing that was in the commercials that always scared me. So these were like these slides that were essentially vertical. And they had to have canopies on the front part because you had to be lowered in at an angle. And in case you fell forward by accident, the canopy would like buffet you back onto the slide. And you basically just have like a free fall. And then you're sort of like, then you're sort of caught by the slide and you slide the rest of the way. And I used to watch that on the commercials and be like, you're just falling. Like as a kid, I was like, that looks terrifying. Like I was like, what, how is, I didn't understand how that was a slide. Like, I couldn't, like, to me, a slide was like this, you know, this angular thing. And I just saw a straight down thing. And I was like, how is that a water slide? Yeah,
pretty much. It's not. It never should have been. So they have a news guy there. And I like news guys in Jersey. I'd like to think that all the guys in Jersey do the news like this. Like, hey, this fucking idiot's about to do this fucking slide. Go on, stupid. Go on, do it, stupid.
Yeah.
So these guys go up and try it, and then they come back down. He's like, "How you feel, dummy?" And he's like, "Getting kind of juicy down there." He's like, "Yeah, my figure's puckered." All right.
Yeah, that was actually Alice in Chains. It was the band, it was band members from Alice in Chains, and it was actually MTV's Headbangers Ball. And the host looked like Jonathan Silverman to me, but I can't.
He did look like Jonathan Silverman.
Either way, I was like, it's hilarious.
God, I missed so much. I was just like, oh, this is local Jersey.
Well, you know.
It's a local news guy. It's MTV. I would just love if that was Jersey news. Like, hey, stupid. So there was a fire in front of this grocery store. Stupid. It was made by someone stupid. You know who tried to put it out? Someone even dumber, because it's still going. You suck!
This is Teresa Giudice talking about, I'm here at Action Park, and Joe was about to go down the slide. You're doing great, Joe. There he goes. He's going down. He's tumbling. Okay, his arm is behind his ankle. Oh, okay. You're good, Joe. You're good, Joe.
Oh, God. So then, let's see. They're talking about how you just don't get up and walk away from that slide. Like, everybody got stuff up their butt.
Yeah.
Or they would poop themselves or whatever.
Yeah. And on top of everything else, the entire park was paved in, like, highway-grade asphalt. So if you didn't have flip-flops, your feet would just be, like, burned. They called it chopped meat feet. Oh. And on top of that, it was jagged. So it would just also be, like, you know, they'd just be getting cut up. I mean, I don't understand anyone who would walk around barefoot at an amusement park anyway. I just imagine this, especially one in Jersey, especially Action Park. I just imagine, how many times do you think Joe Giudice has, like, just thrown a bottle down onto the ground, like, yeah, who cares? Someone else can clean it up. So what?
So then we go to the Aqua Scoot. Now, this one was a slide that was made out of warehouse rollers, you know, like where you roll packages down and stuff.
Yeah.
And you go down on a sled. And Chris was like, I looked at that one and I was like, no fucking way. All right. No fucking way.
And so basically, this one looked relatively benign. You go down on a little sled, and at the bottom, you get sort of like spat out over a pool, and it was sort of fun because you'd skim across the surface of the pool. But if you didn't sit back on the ride, which I'm assuming not many people did, because apparently no one paid attention to any rules or regulations at this park. If you didn't sit back, you would just faceplant, and you'd like reach the bottom and just faceplant right into the water. And if you hung around there too long, you'd probably get stung because there was a hive of bees inside the slide.
So then we go to the Tarzan swing, and this was funny because everybody could see you go in. So when you're going when you're going in line, it's up this big, huge cliff mountain thing. Yeah. And so to get up there, everybody's watching the people who are going on the Tarzan swing, and they would just abuse each other and abuse the people that were going in and being like, pussy, you a pussy, bro, come on. And people couldn't hold their own weight because you actually have to swing on this swing, you know? Like, who has upper body strength? Like, unless you're really working at it.
Yeah, my friend Sarah, she once told me a story about how she went to Action Park with her family and her mom did the Tarzan swing. And basically, it's like, if you do it incorrectly, you hold on to the swing. And if you also have to, like, have your body correctly, because you have to have your legs up. And if your legs aren't up, then what happens is you take the swing and you just, like, careen down into the water.
Yeah,
because what'll happen is your legs will catch and you'll just careen. And so her mom basically just, like, belly flopped into the water from the Tarzan swing. And my friend Sarah told me that story like 20 years ago, and it still makes me laugh. And so I texted her immediately last night. I was like, was your mom on the Tarzan swing? She was like, yes. I was like, oh, I'm watching it that right now. And I can also say, as someone, I've never been to Action Park, but one time in college I did do a rope swing. Have you ever done a rope swing before?
Uh-huh.
like a into a river?
Yeah.
It was one of the most terrifying things I ever... That's one of those things where I'm like, I can't believe I'm alive. So you have to climb up this tree. There's like a little ladder in the tree and your feet are wet. You're on this giant tree. So this is over the Connecticut River. And I'm like climbing up the tree and I'm like shaking because it's like from down below, it doesn't look that high. But when you're up that on that tree, it's so high. And then you have to like, they bring the rope over to you. So you hold it. And then it's like you said, it's like you have to hold on to that thing because if you let go, you're just falling. Yeah. So like, so then I jump off and it was all so fast. Like all of a sudden you're just like careening downwards. And I did the thing that I just talked about, which is that I didn't curl up my legs because the whole thing is you're supposed to curl up your legs. So you swing down and then you swing back up again and then you let go and you drop in the water. But I just took that rope and I was like, oh, I just like crashed into the water.
Yeah. And they're talking, they tell you how to do it. Like you have to have your hands crossed over your chest and then you have to put your legs a certain way and people wouldn't do it right because how is anybody thinking that? It's like so much adrenaline. So they were coming off and they were dislocating their shoulders and shit and they were being like dragged out of there with no, you know, their arm like drooping down. And then the girls, the bikini tops would go off. And so all the guys would applaud and be like, yeah, you did it, eh. And like guys would take their dick and balls out.
Like it's literally like the Real Housewives of New Jersey, like any scene in that show. Like I just imagine all the guys there, you know, like Richie Wakile, Joe Gorga, Joe Giudice, Joe, yeah. All the Joes. They were all there. They were all there watching this.
So then they're like, yeah, you know, it was like a strange social experiment. A bunch of riled up teenagers, alcohol, jacked up rides, you know. Like the second you turn 14, you get your working papers and you go to Action Park.
Yeah. And so basically the whole park was run by kids. And like, you know, like a third of the park was run by 16-year-olds. If you're that lucky, like apparently a lot of 14-year-olds worked a bunch of the rides, which was totally illegal against labor laws, but they just were like, so listen, what? And it was basically like that crazy island in Pinocchio, right? Like you just were waiting for everyone to grow donkey ears.
So it's like, yeah, you got these kids. It became a rite of passage, all right? And, you know, a new kid would come to us, a new recruit, and we'd put him through the drowning. Okay, so the drowning is you take these kids, these 14-year-olds, and you start spinning them around. Then you strap them to a backboard, you know, which is what they would take people out to the hospital on.
Yeah.
And then they would just throw them in the water and let them figure out a way to get out of there.
You know, remember that CBS show Kid Nation? What? This is what Kid Nation would have turned into if it were still on the air. It just would have been this, Action Park.
Kid Nation, so, oh my God. I remember that. People had a fit about that show.
They did, but I actually loved the idea of it. So then, like all the bread was stale. So then it was like stale and out of date. And so they would put like the buns in like a giant colander and steam them until they became moist again. And they're like, it's amazing that no one even died. I was like, I know, totally. As I've like totally tried that with my stale bread in my house. I'm like, I totally do that.
Works. And then we meet Faith, this really goody two shoes blonde lady who was a lifeguard there. And she's like, now I never did it, but a lot of people were having sex there. Now I never did it, but a lot of bad things were going on. I was like, okay, listen here, Corky, because she reminded me of Corky from Murphy Brown.
Totally.
Like, listen, don't pretend you're so innocent, lady.
You've had your fun in the shack, because there was like a shed, and people would go up there to either smoke weed or have sex, but like it was always like 1,000 degrees in there and smelled like balls. And then Chris, of course, the comedian's like, you know, there are people who are like, they're like, that was my first time fingering someone or getting fingered. You know, what a fucking place that was, huh? I'm a comedian.
Yeah, so they talk about all the parties and all the kids just being wasted all the time and how Gene just hated rules of any kinds. And but you know what? Gary's like, yeah, Uncle Gene had good qualities too. He was very personable. So one guy named Joe, of course, there's got to be a Joe, so one day he's got this cattle prod. And I said, what are you doing with the cattle prod? And he said, I can't do this anymore. So he puts the cattle prod to his chest, and he pulls the trigger, and he gets shocked, and he falls on the ground. And then he starts laughing hysterically. And I was like, what are you doing? I thought you was dead. And then he pitches me an idea, you know, because people sneaking on the lift without the tickets, and he didn't like that. So we got someone to go over there and pretend that he didn't have a ticket, and then he pretended him to get him with the cattle prod. Ah, that caused a lot of problems, but that shit was funny, all right?
And then apparently a bunch of parents called up and they were like, I saw someone get killed over because they didn't have a ticket. You know, someone thought, you don't deserve to get killed because you don't have a ticket for the lift.
I know. Finally, the parents are worried. They're like, wait a minute. Now, my kid's there right now. I still sent him today, but don't kill him because I hear you're killing people. You better stop killing people.
They should get the option to kill themselves on a very unsafe and unregulated ride, not by a cattle prod. Okay.
Yeah.
And then randomly they're like, also, Gene had like a machine gun in his drawer.
Yeah, like moving a mini on. Little machine gun.
Yeah, they're like, they just mentioned that. It's like, okay, moving on. And then Jesse's like, there were those who embraced Gene with open arms and those who hated him as someone who destroyed a bucolic little town with his resorts.
Yeah. So she's talking to him on the phone. So there's a tape playing. And he's like, yeah, I can see people will be afraid. I want to plunder the town with riots and traffic and stuff. You know, people have a right to be afraid. But if it's so bad, let's make our own little town, eh? We'll take the Playboy Mansion. We'll take our parks. And we'll make a new town. And she's like, and yeah. You'll call it Moville? He's like, nah, we'll call it Great George. Just but people want you to call it Moville. He's like, Vernon goes on. It's their way. We go away. Capiche?
It's like the least interesting land battle of all time. It's like, I don't care what you guys do. So then the daddy guy, the bearded guy, he's like, you know what with Gene? He could wear a suit in 90-degree weather, and he was a cool dude. And then they cut to the old lady, and she goes, I think he was a piece of shit.
Yeah.
So you know, I'm on her side.
Now, their growing popularity posed a question. What kind of insurance would cover them? And Seth...
Koto insurance.
Yeah, totally. CAC.
Get a job. All you kids, get a job. Get a job. By the way, the entire time while I was watching this, not only was I thinking this is where everyone from New Jersey spent, Real Housewives of New Jersey spent their youth, I also felt like somehow Tamra was there too. Like the entire time I was like, you know that this is where Tamra's childhood was spent. I know she's from like Tennessee or wherever she is, but I think somehow she snuck onto a bus and made her way to Action Park.
Definitely her type. Like there's one point where they're taking footage there in the 80s or whatever, and some guy's walking through the park with a camera, and there is a blonde lady with crazy 80s hair, and she sees the camera and she like starts passing it. She's like, you want a fucking piece of me? And she just like stares it right in the eye and just passes it really slowly. That was totally Tamra.
Yeah, I mean, because you know Tamra was all, and like if a guy, like, you know, if a guy had long, like long, big hair, you know, like hairband style, you know that she was into that shit. She was probably like into like White Snake and Warrant.
White Batch, and Batch.
White Lion.
Anything know, with white in it, you know, being Tamra. So this guy did not get insurance. He just made fake insurance. He created a fake company in the Cayman Islands. Called yeah. like Angel, what was it called? Like
London
Angel
and World Assurance. London and World Assurance. He's like, I'll just add London to it. It sounds sophisticated. And everyone was like, oh, cool. That sounds sophisticated. Yeah, that's insurance.
Yeah. The news lady is like, this looked very homemade. All the documents from them look like they could have been made on dinner napkins. Okay.
Hey, why is this insurance company logo just like a line with a loop at the end of it, huh?
Yeah. A lot got done on cocktail napkins in the 80s, apparently.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So let's see. So one guy's like, you can't do that. And he's like, yeah, I can do it because it's going to help us launder money. And he goes, you can't launder money. He's like, why not? Because it's the law. So what? They can't shut us down. And he goes, yeah, they can. Yes, they can,
team. So he actually wound up getting like a 110 count indictment, and he wound up pleading guilty to fraud and theft and conspiracy. I was actually sort of surprised that this entire thing was kind of like breezed over, like, oh yeah, he also like had this huge legal situation, but he basically got out of it, and he had to give up control of Action Park in the process. And so his response to that was like, fine. And he just stopped paying bills or any like paperwork because New Jersey owned it. And so they got so annoyed having to like ask for the money or ask for whatever. And he just made their life so annoying that they just were like, fine, fine, fine. Just give us $800,000.
Yeah, you can take the whole thing. So then they started running TV ads created by his kid and starring employees. You know, they're like,
this is where I thought I saw Kathy Wakile. There was a girl in the commercial where she goes, it's absolutely insane. I was like, that's Kathy. That is Kathy. I guarantee it.
So then we talk about, you know, just different rides and like how he built things based on natural scenery, like how he grew up. And, you know, a slide where you slide off the cliff. And Chris is like, yeah, I mean, it was really good for people who wanted to, you know, get that feeling of suicide, but in a ride.
Yeah. And it was supposed to be this like chill lagoon where you just like, you just relax there. But the thing is, there was like cliffs that people jumped off of. And so you'd be relaxing and someone would jump on your head. And they had to paint the basin white so that way they could see bodies better that had been like injured and were like down there. Like, and other people would just get their arms.
I mean, this is terrible. This is so terrible to laugh at this stuff. But my God, they really made it so hilarious. It's like all these stories you tell as kids, it's like, how do you get away with that?
Yeah, you're laughing at the hubris of it all. You're laughing at, like, how did this this is crazy. It's so crazy that no one said this is wrong or, like, that no one paid attention. And so you're just like, this is crazy that this is something that existed, you know? Yeah.
So then talking about all the injuries, like, one guy went off and broke his neck. And the way they say it, they're like, yeah, you know, they had to jump off a cliff with the mat and he broke his neck. And
yeah, they're like, they made the jumps bigger and bigger and it was more and more fun until, you know, someone broke their neck.
Yeah. And then, you know, there's Roaring Springs, which is an expansive collection of tube rides, you know. And then one of the girl who's being interviewed, Faith, that's like a person who went to the park a lot. She's like, I remember a guy hit my tube before the tunnel and I slammed my head into the center of the tube. Wow, that hurt.
Yeah, some of the padding got torn away, and it exposed a bolt, and one of the guests got impaled on the bolt and tore a gash through their midsection. They had to be evacuated.
Yeah, and they keep showing pictures of injured people with, like, bloody gashes and welts everywhere, and they're like, they're smiling like it's the best day of their life.
And the thing is that this is like a tubing ride, so you go down in your tube, and it's supposed to be like sort of like rapids a little bit. Not to be confused with the other rapids ride, but you just go down, you go through these tubes. And the thing was that there would just be like a 14-year-old being like, go, go, go. So they just would like send people down, but there would be bottlenecks where everything would cluster up. And then so these, like, people would be clustered up in these bottlenecks, and these other tubes would just come careening down, and the water would be like, and they just like crash, and people go flying, and the tubes go flying around.
Going right over each other and stuff. Oh, God.
And then there was also, like, a large number of people who couldn't swim. And they would get, like, a band that said CFS, which stood for Can't Fucking Swim. I mean, at some point, you also have to be like, these kids were also terrible. These were terrible, terrible teenagers and children who would, like, throw themselves into, like, deep basins of water and without knowing how to swim. I also can't stand everyone who's going to this park, too. You know, like, you just could tell they were just, like, awful, awful teenagers. And I'm not trying to sound like a school mom or something like that. But I'm just saying, just from experience, they're just like probably terrible, terrible teenagers.
Yeah. And this, the girl, Allison, the guest, she's like, you know, all those parties where the kids are jumping off roofs? It was all those kids in one park. For a lot of those kids, it was heaven. No rules. And she says the most traumatic things, but she's always smiling like she's remembering the best time of her life, you know?
I know. So then we go on to the Colorado River ride, and Chris is like, holy shit, dude. Oh my God. That is the most underrated, dangerous ride. They basically put you in and said, let the laws of physics take over. So you basically would go down in tubes. It was supposed to simulate what it's like to go down like a class 4 rapid. And sometimes you go fast, sometimes you go slow, sometimes you get stuck, or sometimes you go up to a wall and maybe you're going to careen over it, and then you like come back down again. And the early test, it originally started as a lazy river ride, and then they amped it up to, you know, class 4 rapids.
He was like, that ain't fast enough. I want it terrifying, all right?
Yeah, and like early test riders were like came out unconscious and everything. And then there would be like the lifeguard chairs would be empty, like no one's paying attention, you know?
Yeah. So then let's see.
Well, what would happen was,
they talked about how it was all the bad kids, right? Because this turned out to be all the rich kids, you know, all the rich kids would go to their summer house or they'd go on vacation with their family or they'd do like rich kid stuff. But the kids who didn't have the money and whose parents were just always working and struggling to get by were just stuck there with nothing to do, so they would go to the park. So it turned into like the bad kids park, where all the bad kids would come and get wasted and just try and make trouble all the time.
Exactly. And on that Colorado river raft thing, whatever, there was always fighting because you'd have so much like bumping. I think there was so much bumping into each other with the tubes or like crashing or whatever, that by the time they'd get to the bottom, they'd all just start fighting with each other, which is like,
another again, thing that's so...
How many black eyes did Joe Gorga come home with from Action Park? How many?
Yeah, right. Or how many did he give? Jeez.
Yeah.
Because he seems like one of the, what, you hit me? What, you want a piece of me, huh? You want a piece, huh? What was I going to say about that? Who cares? Okay. Oh, yeah. Another crazy thing about that time period was just the rampant alcohol use. I mean, now everyone's like, did I just see a beer? Like, someone posted about Jersey, actually. They were like, wait a minute, Gabriella just turned 16 or something, which is nuts. And someone had a White Claw at her party, and people were like, I can't believe that. And they were like, get over it. You all drank when you were 16. But not like this. I mean, Jesus, they're like 14, and everyone's wasted, and there's bars all throughout the park.
I know, exactly. It was crazy. So, because you could get booze all over the place, and everyone would be fighting. And they'd be fighting with each other. They'd be fighting with people who worked at the park. It was just like a disaster. And then they also had something called Code Brown, which is if someone shat in the pool. Which I think is probably something that still exists in water parks, unfortunately.
And that guy, Chris, is like, who gets so angry that you just shit in a pool? Like he took it to anger.
I ask that a lot.
So then we learn about Motor World. Dun, dun,
oh, wait, dun. Before Motor World, we should also talk about this giant tent that they had. They had this giant tent that they would have things like Oktoberfest and Polka Fest and Polish Fest, pretty much like any sort of like big white German or Polish fest that you could have, they would have it there. And so what would happen is the adults would go there and they would drink all sorts of booze and like, you know, listen to Oompa Loompa music.
Yeah. So they would go get wasted. And then as the sun was going down, they're like, fuck it, let's go to Motor World now. So they'd go to the car land, right? And so they would, Gene would say, you know what we need? They need to go around this track. If they do it in under 50 seconds, then we should have girls in bikini at the end shooting off champagne tops and shit. Like he wants them to speed as fast as possible on this thing.
Yeah. And this place is adjacent to the beer tent. So you like drink your beer and then you get into the go-kart and try to go as fast as possible while you're drunk.
And they wouldn't stay on the courses. And he's like, one guy chased an employee in the field in a car. And it was like, poor guy was like running from a bull. He was like a bullfighter.
And then the employees figured out how to like dismantle whatever the speed guard was. And so they would just start driving the go-karts on the highway because it could go up to like 65 miles per hour.
Yeah. And then their Faith, the real good one. Well, first of all, they're like, listen, if you were a lifeguard in that place, you was being punished. You knew nobody. Like nobody liked you if you got stuck in that fucking place. Cut to Faith. He's like, I worked there. I worked in speedboats. And everyone would get three times around this pod. So they have bumper carts, but like it's like bumper cars, but they made them speedboats.
But they're not bumper cars. They were just speedboats, but people treated them like bumper cars. Yes, that was the problem.
Just start crashing into each other and stuff. And so they would go three times around, and then they would get a red flag, and then they would have to stop. And one guy sped up as fast as he could and just went right over another boat with another person in it to the end. And she's like, I'm thinking this poor kid is decapitated, but he just got his neck cut, you know, so he was bleeding from there. So I had to get a stick and I had to hit the car just so the guy would stop pressing the gas.
And the guy on the top boat just like let go and then got out and ran off to another ride, like just leaving the other, like leaving one boat on top of another person. And meanwhile, this pond that they were riding their boats on was filled with like runoff from like the muddy runoff, and like it was gas, and it was infested with snakes.
Yes. And is this the one they had a bunch of dead fish in too? Because of course they killed all the fish in the pond with, you know, all the pollution and stuff. So there's just dead, I mean, just terrible.
And runoff. It was just like the worst, like muck. And I felt bad for the lifeguard because if you had to go out there and swim out to someone, It's terrible.
So then they had another. We go to Battle Action Tanks. Now this is where they're in tanks and they're going really fast around, and the tanks shoot out tennis balls. So they're shooting tennis balls at each other. And one guy thought it would be a good idea to just start lighting the balls on fire. So they were shooting fireballs at each other.
Yeah, exactly. They he was banned from the park. So then we have Alpine Slide, which is actually the most dangerous of them, just in terms of the sheer amount of injuries, because this is basically like, I forget what you call them, but you actually see them on ski resorts all over the world. These sort of like these cement paths that you take a little cart down. You get on it, it has a little brake, and you go down it, and I actually used to always want to go on one, but this one was totally unregulated, untested, and basically you would drop down the mountain, but like a lot of times the brake didn't work. And you also had to understand the mountain, because like if you didn't brake in certain areas, your little cart would just go flying off the track.
Yeah, so this is where
they didn't have helmets, they didn't have knee things, they were just like,
and they would have, like you said, broken carts that they would just not fix. So you didn't know that you were getting into a car with a brake that doesn't work. They just threw you in it, you know, because they didn't care. Because it's a bunch of kids, you know, like, ah, so what? Ah, you fall, so what? You get some scrapes. So this is where it starts getting really bad. So this guy goes down, and he had a broken, his brake wasn't working or whatever. And then he flew off the top. And are we at that part now?
I mean, we're getting there. We're getting there. I mean, first we have to talk about also just the fact that like you had to take a ski lift up to the top of this thing, and like a lot of times you brought your little cart up with you on the ski lift, and a lot of times people would just like try to drop their cart on top of the track, just hit people going down, which is like that's a Joju Dice. You know that Joju Dice is like, yeah, I got one.
Yeah, and then we see, got some dummy. And then we see a newspaper. East Hanover man and his daughter yesterday sued Vernon Valley's Action Park in Sussex County for a 1981 accident in which the top of one of the girl's fingers was chopped off.
Yeah. And then, again, and all the areas around the track were was rock. So if you did go flying off, you'd like land on rocks. And then this one guy was like, listen, I was like very law abiding. If I saw a sign that said slow down, I'd slow down. But at one point, like I hit a bump and I went flying in the air, and I saw my little cart was now like on the hillside just going down. And he went like tumbling down. And so then he had to go to the infirmary. And so when you get sent to the infirmary, you get sprayed with this orange solution that's like hydrogen peroxide and iodine or something like that. But it would just burn. And they had you stand in a circle. And if you could like stay in that circle while you were being sprayed with this stuff, you won some sort of prize. And like in all the years, only two people did it. And the prize was like a pen.
Yeah, because they didn't really have a prize, because they didn't expect anybody to be able to do it. So they just like took anything on the desk. And they had this like big buff guy who was like, all right, go ahead, do it. And they sprayed him, and he screamed and cried so much that he wouldn't let them finish. They're like, dude, you're going to get infected. He's like, I don't care. I'd rather get infected than get that shit on me again. All right.
It's Joe Gorka. It was Joe Gorka.
So then the town had to say, listen, we cannot keep giving you ambulances. Like, we're a tiny town and you guys take up all the ambulances all day. Like, we can't do anything, so you have to get your own ambulance. So they got like a couple of their own ambulances,
which I can't even imagine that those ambulances were up to code or were any way helpful to people in pain.
Yeah. And so then we meet the attorney. And he's like this facelifted Jersey attorney. He's like, yeah, it was dangerous shit. So then we talk about the autos of the theme park. Walt Disney wanted to a turn of the century America. And, you know, Gene had a vision of no rules. Ayn Rand, Lord of the Flies type thing. And Andrew's like, yeah, my dad, all he wanted to do was give control to the people.
Yeah. Yeah, the whole thing was that like he wanted to bring something, create a place where people just like thumb their nose at authority or whatever. And so and that this was also like a time in the Reagan years where like, you know, like red tape was considered bad. It like got in the way of growing a business, etc.
Deregulation.
So, the regulation. And Gene had friends in high places, so like they just like never really got fines because they weren't being regulated. They didn't really have fines. He also had connections. And at one point, he even, like, he had a relationship with Donald Trump, and, like, Trump almost invested, but even Trump thought it was, like, a little too unhinged, which is funny, because, like, it's a little, even a little too crazy for Donald Trump.
I know, and then everybody was like, wow, even Trump wouldn't sign? I mean, that's badass. Like, they were all proud of it. And then if you did sue him, he was so rich that he could just keep you in court forever and drain all of your finances. So everybody learned not to sue him because he would never settle. He would take it to trial, and then he would drain your ass every single time.
Yeah, and if he did actually somehow win, then he just wouldn't pay. So U.S. Marshals would have to show up, and they just got used to it. They'd just be like, U.S. Marshals would show up and be like, okay, all right, we got to pay the U.S. Marshals. They'd, like, take care of it.
Yeah, they started just knocking on the door instead of coming, like, all threateningly. They'd just be like, we need our money now, all right?
But then, like, the movie starts now, like, leading into this idea of, like, you know, it was like we were living in an 80s movie, you know? We were, like, it was the last decade, the last generation of, like, unsupervised fun for kids. You could just be running, you could be on your bike, go to Action Park, da-da-da-da, which is true. I mean, I do get that sense that, like, we, in a certain way, we're lucky we did get to live in this time and that kids could do that. And if you look at the movies of the time, that really reflects that. But this is where, like, the movie starts to lose me a little bit because they are, like, almost, like, holding Action Park up to a testament of days gone by. And I'm like, but it was terrible. This is, like, this is, like, maybe, like, show, like, a kid on a bike with, like, a baseball card in the spokes. But, like, this is, like, ooh, it's good that we've changed.
Yeah, that's what they have trouble struggling with in the end, because they've just made this really fun hour. It's basically been an hour of this movie, and it's been really hilarious. All the stories have been funny, and anyone who grew up in the 80s is like, I mean, yeah, like, I never saw my parents. Like, we were doing crazy shit, like, crazy, and we never saw and part of it is like, yeah, ha ha ha. But then, you know, now we get to the people that died, you know? So there was one guy who everybody thought he was like a star athlete. He had everything going for him, and he flew off that cement one, the one you come down with a sled, his brake was broken. He flies off, and there's all these rocks at the bottom. And they explained it a little bit later, like there was some 4th of July thing that they canceled. Is that why there were rocks like there? That. I don't know why there were rocks.
I don't know. But the state had ordered them to clear the rocks, and they didn't. And this guy, Georgie, so the old lady that we saw earlier, who was like, fuck Gene, turns out that she's the mother of this kid. And her name is Esther Larson, and her first son, her firstborn was this guy, Georgie. And he went down the slide, and he flew off it. His head hit the rocks. He went to the hospital, and she talks about getting to the hospital, and like he had been moved to another hospital, but his bed was covered in blood, and she thought it was just scrapes. And then, you know, they went to the other hospital, and they, you know, they prayed and all that stuff. And then ultimately they lost him, and he died. And how it, like, massively impacted the family. It was this tragedy, and she was so overcome with grief that she actually stepped in front of a truck. She tried to commit suicide because she couldn't live with the pain of it. And it's, like, a really poignant moment, and it's kind of, like, the emotional... I actually liked that they showed this side of it because the documentary... up until the sort of the death part had been like sort of like funny in this crazy way, but it also felt like it was like, but there's like real like dangerous shit going on here. And this is like where they finally kind of address it. And she says, you know, 39 years later, like the pain is still real. And by the way, we also learned that there's someone who got electrocuted because there was an underwater fan that had short circuited and they fell out of their thing and they were too close to it and they got zapped by it. There were people there was a wave pool that was huge, and they would call parts of it the death zone because people would go in the wave pool, they wouldn't be able to swim, and then they would panic and grab onto other people and start dragging everyone down, and that like they would call, there was a lifeguard chair that they called the death chair because so many people would have to be safe from drowning in that wave pool.
So then we go back to Jessie and we find out why she's so important in the story. Jessie is the Nona news lady. And she's like, you know, some of the town officials were on his payroll. You know, they were working at his restaurants, in his park. There's election officials he bought homes for, free memberships to the spa, that type of thing. You know, it was like, what can I get from Gene? You know, and he played up to that. And so he's paying everybody off, and everybody's turning a blind eye because now this park has become the economy of this town, right? So if the park goes under, the town's screwed.
Yeah, and she actually got fired from her newspaper because she was doing a lot of quote unquote anti-business reporting, and maybe like some things about saying that someone was in the mob. So these businessmen went to Gene because they had this simpatico relationship, you know, like they were on his payroll, et cetera. They were also benefiting, and he had a lot of clout in the town, and said, Gene, you got to get her fired. So he actually went to the newspaper and basically demanded that she got fired. And he admits it right on tape. I mean, he's basically like, yeah, I had to do it, which is crazy also. That to me is like that says a lot about small town and maybe big town politics right there.
Yeah, and because she's interviewing him, so she's got a ton of tape on him. She interviews him later in life. And he's like, I can only tell you what I can remember. And what I remember the rep on you is you was anti-business. And, you know, you told What Does Buns Mob Guy that you initiated the thing about him being in the mob, and that's it. And so she talks about how in 93 she filed a lawsuit for defamation and wrongful discharge. And that's why she deposed him. I guess that's why she had all this tape. And or maybe not. I don't know. But she deposed him.
She has a weird relationship with
him. Answer to every question was, I don't recall. I don't recall. You know, he didn't answer one single question. And I was so upset with him. I'll never forget what I said. I said, you, Gene, are a lowlife. I don't care how much money you have. You're a lowlife for what you did to me.
I love Jesse's, like, big, like Suzanne Sugarbaker moment.
I know, I loved it too.
Like, she's just like, you know what, I walked up to him and I'll never forget what I said, and you know, you'll have to excuse me because this is gonna get dark and a little vulgar. I said, you sir are a lowlife. I said it to him. I said you're a lowlife.
I did it.
I did it all.
So then the 90s came and things started changing, and attendance dropped because everybody read You Could Die There.
Yeah.
You know, stopped sounding as fun. And also Bob Brennan, old Leo, ended up getting caught finally by the SEC, and he was found guilty of fraud, so he couldn't just give Gene all this endless cash, and they finally had to declare bankruptcy.
Yeah, exactly. And like the whole legal environment in New Jersey had changed, and then in 98, the place was bought by the same people who run Whistler. And they stripped out the park's attractions. They called it Mountain Creek. And then the narrator's like, and now it's just a generic regional water park. I'm like, I think that's okay. I think that's I felt like there was like some judgment in saying that, like, they took away everything that was special. I'm like, what was special was that people were dying. I think we're okay with just like some run of the mill slides.
And then one of the biggest twists is, well, Esther, the mother of the kid who passed away, is like, one day my husband came home and said, get out the champagne, we're celebrating. Mulville's dead, and he deserved it. And then one of the biggest twists is Jesse. She's like, you know, in the last years of his life, we became very close. I learned of a very different Gene, very generous, you know. And then we see a headline of like, Chris Christie, you know, said he was an awesome man in his obituary or whatever.
Yeah.
Which, of course.
She's like, you know what? I'm not glorifying him. Because remember what I said about the lowlife? I'll never forget. It was such a good moment. You got that? Okay. I'm not glorifying him, but I saw a different side. You know, was he a villain or a victor? I think he was both, depending on the circumstances and what, you know, he was doing what he could get away with. And I'm like, I need to know why you were still in communication with him. What side did you see? Like, I thought this was actually some sloppy filmmaking here, because they sort of like entered this thing where they're like, oh, there was like facets to him. But I'm like, but what were they? Like, what? Like, this was a guy who cheated. He like cheated the law. He did whatever he could to make money. People got hurt and he didn't seem to care. And like, they kept on saying, oh, but he was a nice guy. He was a nice guy. He was a nice guy. But I'm like, I feel like I'm not seeing enough to see a complexity in his personality. I'm just seeing a guy who's like an asshole.
Well, it's also the end, and it's like hard for them to tie everything up because they've made it really fun, and they've got death, so now you feel terrible about death. And now they're making it this overarching thing about the 80s and like how free, you know, that was the last time free will or whatever. And they're trying to like tie it all up in the end by clashing it all together. And so some of the people are like, that was fucking awesome. But then you're cutting to that and the mother crying and visiting the grave. And then you're cutting back to Jesse saying like, he's a good guy. And then you cut back to the way the park is now. It's now owned by a former employee, the one who was all scared of the cattle prod in that story. You know, he ended up taking it back because he loved the memories so much.
Yeah, I found that like in this this little last section here, I was getting really triggered by all the bro comedians, like, because there's the lady journalist who we only saw in the beginning and now in the end. She's like, you know, the spirit of Action Park lives on in Fyre Festival and Theranos. And then you see that guy, Chris. He's like, yeah, Fyre Festival is bullshit. They give you a cheese sandwich. Gene gave you everything he promised, okay? And I'm like, I just was like, at this point, I was like, am I getting triggered by this sort of like bullshit view of the past? Or am I getting triggered by just like a bro comedian doing a bro comedian thing, you know?
Yeah. And he's like, you know, there's a shared level of survivor's respect. Like, you know, any of the people you talk to who've been through that, you know, like you all laugh, but you say like, was that healthy? And of course not. You know, we laugh because what else are you going to do? Like, it was unsafe, but that's what we got. So fuck you.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, yeah, that's basically the vibe of the last section there. And like you said, the very last shot is you're hearing Chris saying things about like, yeah, well, you know, when you're 80s and you're kids, you're with friends and yeah, things were fucked up and you talked about your shrinks. He's just like going on. And you just see this woman with like her son at visiting her other son's grave. And I kind of felt like, I know this was an intentional artistic point, right? That you have this one comedian who's like, yeah, but it was like Survivor, you know, it's kind of crazy. We did fucked up things, but that was the time, you know? But then you see this woman who like suffered real loss. And I kind of was like, kind of made me be like, fuck these comedians, you know? Like,
well, he was saying like, you know, people who grew up in the 80s talk shit, but you know, like we all say like how fucking fun it was, and it was the best time in the world, but we're going to our shrinks and we're crying about it, you know?
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, our parents were never there and we could do whatever we want, but all that stuff also is like the most traumatic shit that's ever happened to us. It like ruined our lives. So it's interesting. And then it's like, did he really die because of the park, or did he really die because of the 80s? You know, they leave you right. With this.
Yeah.
Like this, they're really stretching for a little depth there in the end.
Yeah, exactly. But I felt like they were trying to like add some last minute depth. I mean, I think the documentary, as a documentary, I thought it was actually not very good. I thought it was like, where it was watchable. It was compelling to watch because you're like, what other crazy shit, you know? So the documentary was like, this happened and this happened and this happened. But in terms of like digging deeper, I think they kind of failed on that front a little bit. Like, it's sort of like, okay, here's some crazy shit that happened.
Yeah.
But it was crazy shit that happened.
Yeah, but what a crazy one. So you guys can watch that on HBO Max. Tomorrow we will be talking about Netflix's Emily in Paris. Come back for that one, everybody. We sure love ya.
Bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Mitchells.
Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Aaron McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay. Higher than high res, she's Lauren Perez.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
One day you're Rachel Zinn, the next day you're out.
He makes us squee, Richie D.
Janin better than Kyle Richards.
The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Let's rev our pistons for Amanda and Kristen.
Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Let's give them a kissa, it's Austin and Marissa.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
We will, Joanna Rockland, you.
The incredible, edible Matthew sisters.
The Wyndham beneath our wings, it's Joe Wyndham.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
Lordess, the Lordess of the Rings.
No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell. Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel. Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.